here. We want to connect with you. There's one of a couple ways that we can do that. You can fill out the guest card that is in front of you there at the pew back. You can fill that out at the end of service. You can leave that in the offering plate as you leave. Or you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says, I'm new. And so you can fill that out. We can connect with you and know that you're serving or here with us today in service or online. I want to remind you, we do have service tonight at 5 o'clock, so I hope that you'll make plans to be back with us here tonight. That'll be at 5 p.m. here in the sanctuary. I want to announce a couple other things to you. A reminder, be praying for our spring break, our students. Pastor Jonathan leads some of our students to go to St. Louis, work on a mission trip, take them on a mission trip during the week of spring break. They will leave next Sunday afternoon. You don't have to be a student to go. If you ask real nicely, he may even let you go. So anyway, still taking more folks if anybody's interested in being a part of that. So visit with him today. Let him know soon, and he'd love for you to join them on their trip. And then the last thing I just want to mention to you, make you aware of, on April 2nd, we are planning a work day here at the church. The building and grounds team are working on that and getting a list, a variety of things that need to be done. We are planning to work that morning, so there are all sorts of things. There's activities outside that need to be taken care of. There's things inside that need to be taken care of. Just want to make you aware of that. And then also on April 9th, we are planning our no-sale yard sale, and we need a lot of help with that. There's all sorts of things, everything from check-in to helping facilitate the yard sale aspect, if you will. If you remember, we did this last year, and we had such an incredible response. We had hundreds and hundreds of folks come through, and so I hope that you'll make plans to be a part. And on that note, we need items to give away. Let me just say this as nicely as we can. We need decent and good shape items, quality items, to be able to give away. You know, if you've got the old white tube socks that'll stand up on their own, we love you in Jesus' name, but you go ahead and hold on to those if you need to, okay? All right? But we do want, like, if you've got some things you'd like to donate that we'd be able to give away, it is a no sale. We're not selling anything. We're giving stuff away. And so just want to make you aware of that. If you want to contribute to that, let us know. And if you can, for the time being, hold on to that. We'll give a date as we get closer when you can bring those things by. We just don't have room to store everything. And so if you've got the room and been holding on to it, we're going to ask you to do that for a little bit longer. And just really appreciate that. So excited this morning. We're going to continue in a time of worship in just a moment. We're going to sing unto the Lord. Excited that Pastor Jonathan's going to bring a message to us from the Word of God, and trust that God spoke to his heart. I do want to read this to you in Psalm 33, verse 1 says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful." You thought about that this morning, that in a moment when we sing unto the Lord, when we worship the Lord together through the preaching of his word, that God sees that as a beautiful thing? I realize that some of you sing like I do, and you may not describe that as beautiful, or somebody may not describe that as beautiful, but in all sincerity, the God who created you sees that as a beautiful thing. He cherishes that. Verse 2 says, "Praise the Lord with the heart, make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to the Lord a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy." What an incredible day we have today to worship the Lord together. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. And God, I pray that all that is said and done will bring honor and glory to your name. I pray, God, that we would shout with joy for the glory of you, that you be honored, that, God, you be blessed. And, Lord, thank you that you see this moment, this time together, as a beautiful thing. Lord, hide us behind your cross. Fill us with your Spirit. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you be present here. I pray for Pastor Jonathan as he comes in a few moments and leads us in the preaching of the Word of God, that you would hide him behind your cross. God, you give him every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. Anoint him for the task at hand. And God, I pray that you would speak to us through your servant, your man. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand as we sing.
Forsaken, I'm accepted, you were committed. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die? I honor you. Father's blood stains each page. They have died for this faith. Hear them cry through the years. Heed these words and hold them dear. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have is built on nothing less than Jesus' life and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest ray, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Is built on nothing less than Jesus' light and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest ray, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless and before the throne. Christ save us now through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, we make strong in the Savior's love.
Amen. He is our cornerstone. Amen. He's Lord of all. No matter what you may be experiencing in your life at this moment, He is Lord, He is on the throne, and He is in control. And with that, it brings great comfort to our lives, knowing that we can count on a faithful God to see us through. I want to share with you a message this morning, kind of continuing the thoughts of the past two sermons that Pastor Chris has preached in the book of Hebrews, talking about the race. I really love this analogy that the Apostle Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So if you'll turn there in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Pastor Chris actually referenced this verse last week in his sermon, verses 24 through 27, and I want to talk about winning the race. If you are in a competition, hopefully you are in that competition to win. I don't know about you. Some people just like to compete, all right? And I like to be in a competition to win. I'm very competitive, and growing up with three older brothers, it was a dogfight. We would play basketball. We would do various things. We would throw persimmons at one another, you know, just stuff like that. We wanted to be the best at it. Whatever it might be, we wanted to be the best at it. And so I think this is an appropriate analogy for our life, our lives, especially as followers of Jesus Christ. We want to win. God has given us a directive. God has given us a purpose in life. And the Word of God helps us understand how we are to live and live in such a way that we might win. Does that make sense this morning? I hope you're ready. I have got 4 points this morning that I want to share with you. I've got an acrostic with race this morning to help you remember those points. But I do want to say this. Last week, when Pastor Chris was preaching, I think in movies, all right? I remember movies quite a bit. And last week when Pastor Chris was talking about laying aside, you know, the sin that so easily ensnares us, you know, those things, I don't know about you, but I immediately thought of Forrest Gump. Anybody here, am I the only one? Because early in the movie, if you've seen the movie, this young man, he had an issue where he had to wear braces on his legs. And there were individuals who in his class at his school that would make fun of him because he wore braces. And there's one time where he's walking down the road with his friend Jenny, right? And And they're just talking along, and all of a sudden something hits him in the back of the head, and they look, and there they are. They're coming after him, and she says, "Run, Forrest, run." You remember that part? And so he starts running, and you know, it was very awkward for him when he's running because he has those braces on, and then all of a sudden a miracle happens, right? Do you remember, if you've seen the movie, the metal, all those little things start to break off of his legs, and he was running, right? And in fact, in the movie, it says now, when he wanted to go somewhere, he was running, you know? And so, I mean, that's what I thought about last week, but that's us. I mean, honestly, in our lives, if there's sin that entangles us, there's sin that keeps us from running the race well, running in such a way to win. And so I want to share with you what the Apostle Paul has to say here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 about winning the race and how we can win it. And let me start off by saying there may be some of you here this morning, or maybe even watching online. I need you to understand something. And be clear on this. When we're talking about winning the race, first of all, you've got to be in it. And when the Bible refers to as being in the race, it means that you have begun a relationship with God. And so I want to just challenge you up front that if you have not begun that relationship with God, if you are not in the race this morning, I hope that you will not tune out because the truth of the Word of God is He wants to help you run the race well, and He wants to help you win. You have been given everything required for life and godliness. We're going to look at that passage here toward the end. But God gives us everything that we could possibly need to win the race. You know, several years ago, I like to watch the Summer Olympics. And one of my favorite things is to watch the sprints, the 100-meter dash. I don't know. There are some incredibly fast people who live on the face of this earth. Some of you might remember Usain Bolt. He was broke many records. Some of you that may have been following the Olympics for years might remember Carl Lewis. I mean, he was one of the icons of U.S. Olympic history. But I remember one year, it was several years ago, this wasn't actually in the Olympics, it was the trials for being on the Olympic team. I remember the commentators talking about this qualifying heat. And in that moment, they were talking about one of the U.S. Olympians who was to race, and he was the favored to win. All right, and they were building him up, and they were talking about how we're probably going to see a really fast time from him today. And I remember they get in the starting blocks and they're waiting for the gun to go off, and the gun goes off and he is out, and he is out. I mean, he's probably two or three lengths right in front of the next fastest runner. I mean, he was going to cruise to a victory, but something interesting happened. As he was running, there's this big, incredibly big screen, and he decides to look up at the screen to see where he was at in relation to the other runners. I don't know if anybody remembers this or not. You probably don't, and that's okay. But I remember it very vividly because as his eyes moved from the finish line to that big screen, you know what happened? He slowed down. In fact, he slowed down so much. I mean, he got him off stride. He slowed down so much that he almost did not qualify. He barely qualified to be in the Olympics because he took his eyes off the prize. I wonder if that's you this morning. In your walk with God, have you taken your eyes off the prize? Have you taken your eyes off of Jesus this morning? Because let me tell you something, you will not win unless your eyes are focused on Jesus. I want to encourage you this morning as we read the Word of God, maybe regain some focus this morning so that you can run in such a way that you might win. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would, as we read this passage of Scripture. I'm going to be reading from the Christian Standard Bible. You can follow along on the screen or in your copy of God's Word. The Apostle Paul says this, "Don't you know that runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way to win the prize. Not everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. So I do not run like one who runs aimlessly or box like one beating the air. Instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified." Father in heaven, I pray that as we study your word this morning, as we hear the truths of how we should run, God, would you truly open our hearts with these ancient words? Would you cause them to actually burn within us and help us to regain focus this morning and ensure that our eyes are fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? For Father, we want to win. And we don't want to necessarily win for our own glory. We want to win for your glory and your glory alone. Help us to do that, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Winning the race. Today, the main idea, it's fairly simple. It's there in the passage of Scripture, run the race of life to win. Don't you know that all are running in the race? Run in a way that you will win. So the quick key question here today is, how are you currently running? Are you running in such a way that you might win? Are you running aimlessly? Are you meandering about upon the course, striving this way and striving that way? And let me tell you something, if that's you this morning, you need to regain some focus and get back on track. Because that's exactly where God, that the will of God is. And when you're in that track, all right, some of you know this, some of you have been walking with God as long or even longer than I have. When you are there, it is such a sweet place to be because you are right smack dab in the middle of the will of God. And there's a peace that passes all understanding. There's a strength and a power that is within you that each and every day as you get up, you know that no matter what may come your way, you will be able to stand. So how are you currently running? I want to share with you, again, four things from this passage of Scripture about winners. Winners, first of all, run to receive. Winners run to receive. There's that first R, to receive. What do I mean by this? It's here in the, he said, but only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you might win, he says in 24. Verse 25, now everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. They do it to receive a perishable crown. So he's talking about in our competitions, even today, when you win, you do receive something. But it's something that's temporary. Yes, in the Olympics, it is a gold medal. But we know that at one day, all these things will pass away, right? And the other thing, if the Lord tarries and we wind up exiting this earth before Jesus comes back, you're not taking it with you, right? So this is what he's talking about here. He says when people are in competitions, they do it in such a way to receive a prize, and it's a perishable one. But what he says here, he says they do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable one. We know that there is a prize awaiting those who live this life and live it well for the sake of the kingdom of God and for His glory. The Scripture is very clear on this. Philippians chapter 3, I want to share with you what Paul says here in the book of Philippians. He says, not that I have already reached the goal or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it. You see there? He's running to receive. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. So what is this prize? For me personally, I think the biggest prize of all is Jesus Christ. Amen? The biggest prize of all is Jesus Christ. As Pastor Chris talked about last week, we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the finish line. We run to receive. So that means that as we're running in such a way that each and every day, God is able to do a work in our lives to make us look more and more like His Son Jesus. And as that happens, people take note. People take note and they wonder what in the world is going on in that individual's life. What makes them so different? And that gives us a perfect opportunity to say, well, I'll tell you what makes me different. It's Jesus. And that might sound like a cliche to you, but it's the truth. The world needs to see believers of God, followers of Jesus Christ, running to receive so that they might understand that their lives can be changed, that they too can run in such a way that they might win. Back a few weeks ago, Pastor Chris was in Hebrews chapter 10. Listen to what verses 32 through 36 says. Remember the earlier days? When, after you had been enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to taunts and afflictions, and at other times you were companions of those who were treated that way. For you sympathized with the prisoners and accepted with joy the confiscation of your possessions, because you know that you yourselves have a better and enduring possession. So don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you need endurance so that after you have done God's will, you may receive what has been promised. You may receive what has been promised. So winners run to receive. We have a goal in mind, and that goal is our heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. Our goal is to be more and more like Jesus Christ every day. I know Scripture tells us of this incredible place that Jesus is preparing for those of us who believe in Him, because one day He's coming back so that where He is, we may be also. I know what Revelation says about this new heaven. I see glimpses of the incredible grandeur and glory of this eternal place that God has planned for us. I think it's going to completely blow our minds. I think what the Apostle John described here, he was seeing something for the very first time. He was trying to describe something that he had never seen before. Can you imagine being an Apostle John looking at the New Jerusalem and trying to be able to describe it in such a way that his contemporary readers might be able to understand, and those throughout the ages might be able to just get a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like? That's the prize. It's Jesus, and it's eternity with Him. So we run to receive what has been promised. We're going to get to that promise here in just a moment. So winners run to receive. Are we running through this today? I should have warned you we're going to run through this message too this morning. And a lot of you are like, I don't know, Jonathan, I've heard you preach before, and it's usually pretty long. Maybe it'll be short today, because I'm ready to go. The starting blocks for me this morning was when we got up and we started singing, "You Are My King," right? And so I'm already down down the lane a little bit this morning. So y'all need to catch up, right? All right. So we run to receive, and then we run with agony. I know that sometimes agony, it seems like it's a negative term, especially when you're looking at competition. I used to have the commercials for the Olympics, or just for sporting events, and you know, they talk about the thrill of victory and then the agony of defeat, right? And you see that skier. I still see that image in my mind. That skier that's on the long jump, and he he falls. And I was like, oh, thankfully he survived that. But that's usually, what my point is, usually agony is seen as a negative term. But here in this passage of Scripture, in verse 25, as you look at this, it says, now everyone who competes exercises self-control. This is that Greek word agonismai, which we're, from where we get the our English word agony. It's this incredible effort that you put in to this race. I don't know if you've ever watched runners. Again, I'm speaking from something that I enjoy. And in fact, as Ethan has grown a love for cross country and track, I love to see the runners running, especially when it comes to that last little bit, right? Because they see that finish line and they dig down. And I don't know if you've ever seen the runners at the end of a race, especially like a cross country meet. They see that little chute going into the finish line, and it's like, whatever I have left in the tank, I'm going to empty it now. And one of my early memories of watching Ethan when he was just starting out in cross country, we were up in, I think, Fort Smith, and that day it got extremely hot. And so they decided instead of them running 2 miles, they would only run 1 mile. And I mean, just like right before the race began. And so a lot of the runners, you know, they have conditioned themselves in such a way that they're going to run 2 miles. And so how they run in 2 miles is different than how they run in 1 mile. Does that make sense? And so I remember watching Ethan run, and then all of a sudden I was like, where's he at? And there he comes. He's passing so many different ones. And he told me afterwards, he said, you know, I got into the race, and honestly, I had forgotten that it was just 1 mile. And so he was saving some up. But I could see that as he saw that chute, that the agony, because, and it wasn't because it was a negative thing, because he was like, I'm going to finish. And I'm going to try my hardest to be ahead of so many of these that are down here that maybe they are running out of gas. Does that make sense? My encouragement to you today is run with agony. Don't give up. Don't give up. There are a lot of things that will happen in our lives. As even in that passage that we previously read in Hebrews, talks about the struggles that we experience, the taunts and the afflictions. Yet the encouragement is to keep going. I told you I talk with, I think in movies, and so therefore I talk in movies. But one of my favorite animated movies is Meet the Robinsons. And in this movie, you have this young man. He's extremely smart, right? And he's always trying to invent things. And he tries this and that. And then you later in the movie, you hear this mantra that he, very early on in his life, that he came to just really embrace. And if you remember the movie, it was keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. And as we are running this race, and we're running to receive, there's going to be moments in our lives that it can get difficult. But in those moments, run with agony and keep moving forward. Look at what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 1. Verses 27 and 29, he says, God wanted me to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. You hear what he's trying to do? And now listen to this. I labor for this, striving with his strength that works powerfully in me. This is the same idea that Paul conveyed in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, where he says that, where he talks about working out your salvation. But remember, it's not you that's working, it's God's power that's working in you for His glory and for your good. Striving. One of the commentaries that I looked at says, or actually the literal translation from the Greek in Colossians chapter 1, it says this: by means of His energy, energizing within me with power. I think in movies and in commercials, so I think about the Energizer Bunny. Anybody just right there, I think he just keeps going, right? They just keep going. What an incredible ad campaign, especially for a Christian's life. Just keep going. It's that energy that's within us, and it's not ours, but it's something that is infused within our lives by the Holy Spirit. And it's God's power that's working in us, and it's working powerfully to help us to keep moving forward. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says, "Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you have made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Just real quick, I want you to see something here, not only in this verse, but in the passage previously. Did you hear the commonality there? Did you see the similarity in what Paul was talking about here? He talked about proclaiming the Word of God. He talked about being a witness. So when we're running with agony, that's part of it, isn't it? That's one of the reasons why I said earlier that the world needs to see followers of Jesus running to receive. They also need to see followers of Jesus running with agony, striving to be more like Him, so that they know that in the most difficult times of their lives, there is hope, there is help, and His name is Jesus. Paul also says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, "I have fought the good fight." Now, he's nearing the end of his life. He says, "I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have loved His appearing." There it is. Run with that. Fight the good fight. This is the encouragement that we receive from the Word of God. Keep moving forward. Keep fighting for the kingdom of God and its advancement. But remember, don't do it in your own strength. Allow God to strengthen you, and He will. You run to receive. You run with agony. And then winners run with certainty. Run with certainty. Listen to what verse 26 says. "So I do not run like one who runs aimlessly, or box like one beating the air." Have you ever, in a competition, have you ever seen a runner decide that they would run in serpentine movements? That they would just, right here? Kaylin, you run cross country and track. Is that the way Coach Heim, does he tell you to run that way? Like this and that? Only if there's curves in the course, right? That's when you, okay. No one runs that way when they're in a competition. They don't sit there and just meander about. They have a certain goal in mind. Does that make sense? They don't run aimlessly. Listen to this. We have a certainty. We have a surety in Jesus Christ. You know, earlier we talked about receiving the prize that has been promised to us. Now let's understand something this morning. Let me ask this question. Is God a liar? That was a perfect time for a collective no. Thank you. It was a perfect time for a collective no. Scripture tells us God is not a liar. He is unable to lie. And if He says, "I will give this to you," if Jesus has said, "I'm going away to prepare a place for you so that I'm going to come back and where I am, there you may be also," you can count on it. One day, one blessed day, one glorious day, right, we sing that at times. Sometimes we relegate it to a memorial service or a funeral service. What a day that will be. What a glorious day that will be, right? The reason why we sing that is because it's true. God has promised this in His Word. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It is not in vain. It is sure, it is certain. And this was coming on the heels of him talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if it had not happened, then we're to be pitied of all the people in that have ever lived on the face of the earth. If the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not true, then our faith is in vain and our labor is in vain. But thanks be to God that Jesus rose from the dead. We're going to celebrate that here in just a few weeks. And if we truly believe that, then we can run with certainty. And we will be able to win. Amen? Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 through 19 says this, because God wanted to show His unchangeable purpose even more clearly to the heirs of the promise, He guaranteed it with an oath, so that through two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to seize the hope set before us. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Let me ask you, when he said it enters the sanctuary behind the curtain, who is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus, isn't he? That's a good Sunday school answer, by the way. I was trying to make it easy for you this morning to be able to interact. It's Jesus. That's why we sing songs like, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, right? I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. And then we sing Christ alone, cornerstone. We sing that because He is sure. You know, way back when, I don't know if it's in our hymnal, there was a hymn, we used to sing it. Dad, we used to sing it at Salem quite a bit. In times like these. In times like these, I need a Savior. You remember that, Al Ray? In times like these. Is that in here? I need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that, listen to this, that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation. Well, let me stop right there. You're being guarded right now. If you are in Jesus Christ, you are being guarded for that day when Jesus comes back and He receives you to Himself. This is a sure thing. There's not too many sure things in life. I can count on my Father's love. All right. My kids can count on my love for them. I can count on Michelle's love for me, and she can count on my love for her, right? There's not too many things that you can count on, but above all those things, in fact, you pile them all together and smash them down, right? They still do not compare to the sure thing that we have in being guarded by God for eternity if we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Ooh, y'all get me excited this morning.
I haven't even got through this passage. Okay, we're being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief and various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which through though perishable is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though not seeing Him now, you believe in Him, and you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's such a rich passage, and we don't have time this morning to unpack every little bit of that. But I hope you heard in that there is a sure thing, there is a certainty for those that are in Christ Jesus, for those who are following Jesus, for those who have repented from their sins, and they turn from their sins and turn to God. And the Holy Spirit comes in as a seal on your soul, and the Holy Father places you in His hand. You are there. Once you are His, guess what? You are always His. That's the truth of the Word of God. So run with certainty. Run as if you are a child of God. Run as if the Holy Spirit is actually co-equal with God and has the ability to help you make it through this life. So many times we run defeated. I've never seen Ethan come out of that starting gate and thinking, I'm probably not going to win this, so I shouldn't even try. I know I'm talking about Ethan. This is my frame of reference. I'm really proud of him because every season his goal as he runs is to beat his personal record every time. He may not be the first one crossing the finish line, but he wants to beat his personal record. Why don't I live that way every day that I get up? That maybe tomorrow that I'll beat my personal record. And when I say that it'll be longer in the day before I even entertain the idea of sinning against God. And let me tell you something. If the Holy Spirit is inside of us, is that possible? Absolutely. That was where a collective, yes, it's possible. Because all things are possible with God. It may not be possible with Jonathan. The probability is probably, it's really low because I'm a sinner and I'm the chief of them. But the possibility is there because the Holy Spirit resides inside of me. I can run with certainty. One more passage and we'll get to the last one, last point. I want to share with you. This is what I want to share with you. One of our translators from Ukraine, I've been messaging back and forth to her and many others, and I've been encouraged, not necessarily about the war, but how God is working in their lives. And I read this to our students in its entirety. On Wednesday night, but I want to read you a portion of this, and I want you to hear the certainty of someone that's in uncertain times. She says, seeing all the destroying of the city where we lived in, they lived in Irpin, and I don't know if you've watched the news, but it's pretty much destroyed. She says this, that it makes us feel homeless, as if we don't have anywhere to be back. But it helps us to realize that our real home is in heaven. Wow! She says this, the hope we have is this. God is in control. God writes His history. God is using even evil and turns it into good. Then she says this, what I know for sure. When God gives His comfort and fills us with His Spirit, the variety of feelings are changed miraculously. Nothing changes outside.
terror is still everywhere. But the inside faith gives the strong foundation for peace and joy, which is beyond human understanding. She's certain. In the midst of a war, she is certain that God is with her, that God is her refuge, that God is her fortress, and that God is her very present help in a time of trouble. And I have to ask myself, is my faith that certain? Am I running with that type of certainty this morning? I hope I am, because I want to win, and I hope you want to win as well. So we run to receive, we run with agony, we run with certainty, and last this morning, we run without elimination. There it is, the R-A-C-E. Receive, agony, certainty, elimination. Listen to what Paul says. Instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. You know, in certain races, if you do not stay in your lane, you are disqualified. You're penalized, at least. Am I running so that I won't be disqualified? What does that mean? That means that I am running with God and not against Him. When temptations come my way, I do not turn toward them. I turn to God. I do not want to eliminate myself. I do not want to damage my witness. Not because my witness is incredibly important in the whole scheme of things, but if it causes someone to stumble, then I don't want to do that. I do not want to run in a way that would eliminate me. 2 Peter chapter 1 says this, His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Do you listen to that? Everything required for life and godliness. God will give you everything you need to run in such a way that you will not be eliminated, that you will not be disqualified. Listen to this. By this, He has given us very great and precious promises so that through them you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world because of evil desire. For this very reason, make every effort. There's that striving. There's that agony again. Make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness. Goodness with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you, now listen to this, from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge. It'll keep you from being useless. I don't want to be useless for God. I do not want to be unfruitful. And I hope that you, as a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, you would say the same thing. I do not want to be useless when it comes to advancing the kingdom of God. We sing songs quite a bit. I surrender all. And we sing those because we want God to use us. Therefore, brother, or the person who lacks these things is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten the cleansing from his past sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, because if you do these things, listen to this, you will never stumble. You won't be disqualified. You won't be eliminated. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be richly provided for you. Now, let's understand something this morning. We are not working for our salvation. Amen? I'm so grateful that it's for by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? So we're not talking about working for our salvation. We're talking about working out our salvation, because this incredible thing that's happening on the inside needs to get out, again, so that the world around us can see a runner who is running in such a way to win, and that our lives have changed and being transformed by the power of God, and that they too can be transformed by the power of God. Whether or not they know it, every human being longs for this. The Bible tells us this very clearly, that they described it as a God-shaped hole in all of us. And human beings that are walking on the face of this earth today, they are taking all sorts of things and trying to cram it in that God-shaped hole. Right? And it doesn't fulfill. It doesn't fit. But here's the beauty of it. You submit yourself to God. You repent from your sins. Ask Him to forgive you. All those other things, they don't matter anymore, because God is inside of you. And now that salvation begins to work itself out. And one of the ways it works itself out is by us telling others. We are an example in the way that we live, but we are an example and the things that we speak. Why would I not want to talk about Jesus? If He has done this for me, why would I not want to share that with someone else? This morning, how are you currently running? Are you running to win? Are you seeing the prize, and are you reaching forward? And you're doing so with great agony, with great effort. And are you focused on Him? You're not meandering about, and you're staying clean. You're keeping yourself from all those things, the world, those little flashy things that the world says, this is going to fulfill you, this is going to fulfill you. And let me tell you something, it won't. Nothing compares to your relationship with Jesus. So how are you currently running today? Maybe this morning you've taken your eyes off Jesus. Let me encourage you. Look to Him again. Look to Him again. He'll get you back on track. He'll get you in a place where you're running again, and you're running well, and you're on the path to win. Maybe you're here this morning, maybe you're watching online, and you would say, Jonathan, I'm not even out of the starting blocks. Let me tell you something. In an instant, just like that, the gun goes off. That's how it happens in a person's life when they turn to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit comes inside. I don't understand it all. I don't know. I've been walking with God for 40 years. I still look back to that day when I was almost 8 years old and God changed my life forever. But in an instant, it happened. And that could be you this morning. Would you turn to Jesus? Would you place your faith in Him? Would you turn from your sins and turn toward God? He died on the cross for you. We talk about runners. He was the runner who ran the best, right? He completed his race. He's the ultimate example. That's why we look to Him. If that's you this morning, say, God, I want to get in this race, but I've been looking to other things. In this moment, I turn from those things and I turn to You. I repent. Forgive me. It's that simple. And in an instant, Scripture tells us God changes us. And He'll help you run to win. I want to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. The altar is open this morning. I'm going to invite Pastor Chris to come forward. If you're struggling this morning in your race, Pastor Chris would love to talk with you and pray with you. If you're in the starting blocks and you want to get out, come talk to Pastor Chris. He would love to walk you through the Word and help you understand what it looks like to begin a relationship with God. Father in heaven, we're so grateful that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith, that He ran an incredible race to the cross, that He died for us, and then 3 days later He rose again victorious, so that we can share in that victory. I pray for these individuals this morning that may be struggling. God, would You help them to look to Jesus once again? And if there's someone here, Father, still in the starting blocks, God, help them to look to Jesus as well. For by grace we are saved through faith. May that truth become a reality to them this morning. In Jesus' name. So we continue in an attitude of prayer. Altar's open. Pastor Chris is here. The Lord's dealing with your heart. Don't hesitate. Respond to Him. And surrender your all.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust. Oh.
Well, amen. I just want to share just a quick couple of thoughts with you. First of all, I am appreciative of Pastor Jonathan coming and preaching the word for us this morning. Thank God for that. Let me just say this. I believe that one of the most important times, important aspects of our church is when God's man stands in this pulpit and preaches the word of God. And it is important. It is something that as your pastor, I work to protect, that whoever stands here in this time is faithful to preach the word of God as thus saith the Lord. And I thank God for Jonathan and his service. And that's an important part of who we are. And so I thank God for that. Let me mention a couple of things to you. We talk about these response cards, these cards for our guests often, but it's more than just a guest card. It is a card that gives you an opportunity to share a decision maybe that you have made recently to pray to receive Christ. Or there's an opportunity to, if you've got a prayer request or you just want to connect with us in some way, you can leave that as well. And so just want to remind you of that. Maybe God did something in your heart and life this morning. You may use this card just to leave a note, and we'll reach out to you and thank you for that. This month we are taking up our Annie Armstrong Easter offering, and let me just say this: I can't tell you how important it is, the importance of running your race and giving. If you want to be I don't know how else to say it. You want the Lord to bless your finances, you better give. And I don't mean that in any sort of way of, as it came across, maybe out as a threat, but I'm just telling you, the Lord honors and blesses the faithfulness of your giving. And I know there's a lot of folks in this room that could give testimony to that. And so I just want to challenge you, and not in any way of sort of pressure, but just encourage you as application of today's message is be faithful in your giving. And so I just want to challenge you in this way. Would you take one of these envelopes, Annie Armstrong white offering envelope there in the pew back in front of you, take that, pray about it. What is it you would have me to give? And then whatever he lays on your heart, tells you to give, you be obedient to that. And as a church, we will give exactly what he has for us. And I, as your pastor, I want to challenge you. This is over and above giving. And so you be faithful to give weekly out of your, or however you receive your check, if you will. But you be faithful in your giving, your tithing, your faithfulness there. And then you give to Annie and Armstrong over and above. And I'm convinced of this, you can't outgive God. And he'll bless that. And so, anyway, hey, thank you so much for being here. Thank God for you. Join us back tonight, 5 o'clock. We're going to have a time of service soon. We'll be going back out and getting out in our community and have an opportunity to pray over homes and pray for families and looking forward to that, okay? And so make sure to be with us. Also, last thing, we are planning our Lunch with the Pastor, which is our new membership class. We'll get you a date really soon. But if you're interested in joining, there's some things you can begin doing now in preparation for that time. We have at least one young family wants to join our church, and so looking forward to adding others to that. So if you're interested in that, make sure come find me, come talk to me, and let's talk about what it looks like for you to join our second family, okay? All right, let's pray. God, you're gracious and kind and merciful. I thank you for today. I thank you for Pastor Jonathan, his faithfulness to the word. Lord, I pray that we would give in such a way that bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. And God, help us to be faithful, to run the race well that you've laid before us. And God, we just love you. We praise you. We thank you for all things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Lord bless you and keep you. Amazing love.